Hallelujah. So we heard the scripture that was read, and I know that today is Men's Sunday. And before I go into the word, I'm going to just pray and ask God that He will take control. Father, we thank You today for Your word. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your loving kindness. Thank You for being with us here today, Father. Thank You, O God, that You knew that at this time I would be speaking, I would be ministering, O God, with Your children. And Father, I pray that Your will be done. I submit myself to You. I submit, O God, my words to You. And I pray even now that You will remove all flesh. I pray that Your name will be glorified, and that if there's someone today who maybe is on this call, Father, who has not given themselves to You, not given their life to You, I pray that today, O God, they will be willing, Father, to accept You as Lord and Savior into their life today. I pray that someone will be encouraged from Your word today as I submit to You this passage of Scripture, O God, and this word that You have given me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, as today's Men's Sunday, the scripture I think is fitting, because I know our men, or as men, we love to call ourselves kings. Every man, you know, we like to refer to ourselves as kings in our own right. You know, you're king in your home, you're king in your life, you're king. I'm not talking about the holy kingdom. I'm not talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We like to be thought of as men, as kings, because kings are men of great stature. They are men of great stature. They know, they give the orders. They are the ones in authority. And though in our homes, we are the ones who are the ones who God has given authority, if I'm going to say it that way, we still need to submit to the only true authority on this earth that dictates all, that rules all, that has created all. And I think as men Sunday today, this passage of scripture, you know, the Lord laid on my heart, because we see here where Israel had a king for years, a king who provided for them in the wilderness, a king who gave them everything they needed. They were hungry and He fed them. They were thirsty and He fed them. But the people came and said, I want a king. We want a king. And God allowed the people to choose their king. And He allowed them somewhat of a democracy, we're going to call it that, and said, okay, I was king, I served you all this time, and I gave you all you need, but you still come to me and tell me that you want a king. And now we see where the king has fallen. The king failed. And God is now saying to Samuel in this passage, I am going to choose a king who I want to choose. And He said, I'm going to choose someone who You are going to anoint, and this will be my king. And essentially He's saying, because the previous king has failed, and though his tenure is not up, He's about to anoint someone new. And, you know, going into this message here, I can safely say that all men want good looks. If I'm lying, then so be it. But I can safely say that based on statistics, every man wants to look good. I know we talk about the women and the females, they like to do their nails, their hair, and, you know, their fingernails, their toenails, and they like to do their skin routine and their hair routine and all that. But men, we love to look good as well. And though we might not be, you know, the type to do our nails and the facial routine and the pedicure and the manicure, we go to the gym and we work out. And though some of us are younger than some, and though some of us have been around longer than some, we all want to look good in whatever stage of life we are. And it is something all men want. We want to work out. We want to remain healthy. We want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. But we know that we like to look and feel muscular and ripped, is the word they call it nowadays, where when you flex your muscles, you can see the lines in your body. You can see your abs. You can see the different muscles. And you want to know that when you flex your arms, the biceps are showing. And when you flex your hands, the triceps are showing. And you want to make sure that when you flex your stomach, your six-pack is there. And that is how we want to look as men, because we want to feel of great stature. And nothing is wrong with that. Nothing is wrong with looking good. Nothing is wrong with taking care of your body. The Bible did tell us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, that don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. The last youth Sunday, I was able to speak on vessels, and we brought out this very point that our bodies are temples. Our bodies are vessels. And we have the choice who we want to live in our vessel. And the reality of life is only one of two people can live in your vessel. It's that of the Spirit of God or that of the Spirit of the devil. And the Bible encourages us to take care of our vessels. And one thing is filling the spirit man, but the other portion of it is taking care of your physical vessel as well. So that's why the healthy lifestyle is important. Going to the gym and eating healthy, taking your vitamins and making sure you stay fit as a man. A matter of fact, society tries to tell us how men should look. When we look on the commercials there, when they're advertising body wash, they don't use the men who don't look good. I can say that. They don't use the men who they don't think look good. They use the men who are working out. They use the men who are going to the gym. They use the men who society looks at and wants to look like that man. And that's what they use when they're advertising. So when you look in the commercials, when you look in the media campaigns, that's what you're seeing. But regardless, men would not mind being the tallest one in the room all the time. Men would not mind going into a room and demanding the room and saying, look at me, I'm so tall, I'm so handsome, I'm in shape. Men don't mind that because it's in our nature. We have something called testosterone, and when you put too much testosterone in a room, you know, most people know I'm in construction, and one thing is, construction is 90 to 95% dominated by men. And when we're in the field office, when it's all men, and there's a woman who walks in the room, something changes. Some of the men, you notice, they start to act different. And you see them start to walk and like their chest is up in the air a little bit more than when it's just men in the room. And they try to show themselves as, yes, I'm the man. I'm the tallest one in here. I'm the boss in here. And the mentality is that the best looking man gets the girl. The strongest man should be the leader. And if I am the tallest one in the room, I will be chosen. But I'm here to tell us this morning, men, and it's not a sermon for men only. So I hope the women can get a message from this, because there is a message for humans in this. That God doesn't choose in his word, as he said here, he doesn't choose considering the outward appearance. He looks at the heart, he looks at the inside. You know, the funny thing about human beings is that we can have the most healthy looking body, but you don't know if something is inside of you rotting. You don't know if there's something inside of you decaying. You don't know if there's something inside of you that is cancerous. You don't know until you look on the inside, until you do an x-ray, or until you do an ultrasound or something. And that's the message this morning, that God does not look on the outward appearance. And I think this is a perfect example of this situation where God told Samuel, go, I am going to anoint a king. And though Samuel was holy, though Samuel was in the will of God, though Samuel went when God said, go, at the end of it, Samuel still got somewhat deceived, if you're going to look at it that way. If we look at verse 6, when they arrived, and sorry I skipped over the first part, the message is really in verse 6 to 13. And the first part in verse 1 to 6, all is happening is that God is telling Samuel, go, I'm going to anoint someone. Go to Jesse. And Samuel asked God, oh, what if Saul kills me? What if Saul knows? God said, don't worry, family, I'll go with you. You don't worry. And Samuel set up on his way. And when he got there, the Bible says in verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. I want us to read that and hear what Samuel said. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. This is man speaking right here. God told Samuel, go and find somebody. I know who it is I want you to find. And Samuel now, in his flesh, is saying, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Why is he saying that? Why is he saying that surely this is the Lord's anointed? Because he saw Eliab. And when he saw Eliab, he looked and he said, this is him. This has to be the king. Look how strong he looks. Look at his physical stature. And as Samuel looked at the oldest son, he thought, this man surely looks like a king. This must be the one God will tell me to anoint. That's a good choice, God. Samuel, look how tall and good looking this young man is, who looked like he could be fit for a king. But God had to calm down Samuel right there. Because in life, you see, what happened is that we get so caught up with the physical appearance, and we get so caught up with the vanity of the physical appearance, and we get so caught up with looking good and looking in the mirror and going to the gym and doing this and doing that, and it is good. But what about the inside? What about the inside? What about who God has chosen? Because who God has chosen doesn't always have to look like he is the one who will be chosen. You see, I want to highlight something here, is that if I backtrack to verse 4, where he said, so Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. This is verse 4 to 5. And he said, he went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. But when I read this, we have to understand what Bethlehem was. Bethlehem wasn't something like the greatest city back then. It wasn't the New York City. It wasn't the Miami. It wasn't the Los Angeles. It wasn't the city that everybody wanted to go to. It wasn't the attractive city. Bethlehem was a small town, not very far from Jerusalem. It was the home of Ruth and Boaz, from whom the family of Jesse descended. Hilly, grainy area, way down in some bush, way down Manchester, behind Manchester, down in some hills called Cross Keys and Longsign and places that maybe most of us on the call don't know. A small little town tucked away somewhere. And God sent Samuel here and he said, that is where my next king is. And I look at that and I say, you know, sometimes we think the king is coming from Kingston, you know, in right there in New Kingston, Pastor. Right there in right there off the street where you have the big banks and the big headquarters, the corporate buildings, you know. We think that God is gonna choose the king from Montego Bay, you know, right there off Pier 1, where the city is, you know, where you can see the nice beach and they have these tall buildings and expensive hotels. You know, we think that is where the king is coming from, because that is where everybody wants to go. That is where everybody wants to be. But God sent Samuel down in some bush, you know, probably to get there. It was a journey, because they didn't have the pathways and the roads like that. You had to journey. You had to go on a journey to get there. And down in this little town called Bethlehem, you have this guy named Jesse. And he found Jesse and he saw his tallest, most handsome and strongest son. And he said, look at this. Good choice, God. Good choice. Good choice. Surely this is the Lord anointed, he said in verse 6. I would say to Samuel, be careful how you use the word surely, because you don't know what God is doing. You know? You see it with your physical eyes, but you So little do you know that this is not who God has in mind. Amen. And he looks and he says, surely this is the Lord's anointing. He moves on to verse 7 and he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. Don't worry how tall he looks. Don't worry how bulky he looks. Don't look at those triceps. Don't let those triceps fool you. He said, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Who's to say this morning that probably, I'm not saying Eliab's heart was bad. You know, I'm not saying that Eliab's heart was the cleanest or the dirtiest. The Bible didn't really go into that. But God knew why he did not choose this person. Moving on to verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. And Samuel said, Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. So he starts going down the line now. And he realizes that, wow, all right, if it's not the tallest one, it must be the second tallest one. Look at that handsome one over there. He looks like a king. He fits the appearance of a king. He looks like he can demand a room. But God said, this is not the one. And we continue reading. Then Jesse called Abinadab. And in the verse 9, he said, Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. I wonder if you see what's happening there. They're sending out man's best. Jesse is sending man's best. Samuel is looking at man's best. And I can imagine they line them up according to appearance and according to stature and according to how they look and according to, you know, how much they look like a king. And that is the order in which they were coming with. And I can imagine Jesse and Samuel at this point, they kind of get confused. They kind of get concerned because they're like, God, how is this person going to serve as king? They don't fit to be king. They don't look fit. They don't look ready to run the race. They don't look ready like they will speak and people will listen. But they kept going. And the Bible said, when Shammah passed, Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Even the best of men will look at the outward appearance. At that moment, Samuel was guilty of it. We must understand that we can't read the secrets of another man's heart. And we often judge people by their outward appearance. The world is full of idolatries, but I question if any idolatry has been more extensively practiced than the idolatry of outward appearance. The idolatry of outward appearance, that we look at people. You know, I talk all the time about these celebrities, and I won't call any names, but we have celebrities that we look up to so dearly, and we let Hollywood tell us who is great. And we look, we make California and Los Angeles to tell us who is great, because we watch Mission Impossible and we watch James Bond and we watch these movies and we say, man, look at that action. Look at that. That man is so fit. That man is doing so well. That man is doing so great. Wow, look how we beat up that man. And we say, look, he's the star. He's the movie star. He's the one I want to be like. I remember when I was a child and I would watch a lot of these action movies. One of my favorite actors was Jason Statham. And he would act this movie called Transporter. And I would look up to Jason Statham so much because nobody could beat up Jason Statham. And he did all these action movies. And any movie with Jason Statham in it, I would watch it. And you look at that and you say, look at that great man. And that's how the world is today. That society, that the entertainment industry tells us who is great. It's no longer about who has a pure heart and who is humble. And it's the most hype ones that they push up, the ones who are doing the most, the things that are so contrary to the will of God. It is the ones who are turning and twisting the word of God and perverting society. And those are the ones that they put on the top of the ladder. And those are the ones our kids emulate. I ask a question today to the men in the room. Can your children emulate you? Can your niece or your nephew or those who are in your circle, can they emulate you? Do they look at you and think that you're a great man, not only by your outward appearance, but by your heart, by how they see you talk to people, by how they see you treat people, by how they see you act when no one is looking? What is the stature of our heart? Because I'm here to remind us this morning that God is not that he doesn't care about our physical appearance, because the Bible tells us to take care of our temple. But the temple should not be prioritized over the condition of the heart. You see, this is a two-in-one message, because this message speaks to the status of the heart, and it also speaks to the one who God has anointed. But the one often who God has anointed is anointed because of the condition of his heart, not because of the outward appearance. Even in our church today, there are some people who look the part. There are some people who fit the part. There are some people who play the part. But the question is, what is the condition of our heart? What is the condition of our heart? The Lord has not chosen these. God told Samuel that he had not chosen any of the seven. Keep going down. Verse 10. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, is this all? Is this all you have to offer? Are these your sons? Are these the only sons you have? Because something is not right. Something is confusing now. Samuel says, something not right. I can't understand this. God sent me down here to anoint someone. And here I have seven people passed by me, and none of them are fit for the throne according to God. They may look the part, but the inside is not what God wants. There's something wrong here. And he asked Jesse, and he said to Jesse, is this all? Jesse responded, there is still the youngest. There is still the youngest. He is tending the sheep. I can imagine the conversation the family had. I can understand. Can you see, we have a similar situation with Joseph, and we won't go into that. But we have a similar situation with Joseph where you think that God won't select that one. And I can imagine Jesse saying to his son, all seven of you, go. Go. God is going to choose one of you as king. Go, Eliab. Go, Shammah. Go. And Jesse probably felt honored. And there is little David. And he said, David, stay here. Watch the sheep. He said to David, just watch the sheep. You're too young for this. Your older brother's got this. God's not going to choose you, David. So watch the sheep for me. While your brothers go and be selected for king, watch the sheep. You know, help around the house and stay inside. Don't come out here. You know, I can say from Jamaican families, that's very popular, that we think the youngest person can't understand the room. We think the youngest person can't speak. We think the youngest person is not good enough. We think the youngest person could never lead the family. But here we see that in God's word. And he said, the youngest one is tending the sheep. Jesse probably told him, stay here, man. You're good. Tend the sheep. This is big people business. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and brought him in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. You see, I'm not here to preach to us and tell us this morning that David was ugly, because the Bible didn't tell us that. The Bible didn't tell us that David didn't look good. David was just the youngest. Because a lot of people think that Eliab was the most handsome, and he was the strongest, and he was the tallest, and, And yes, he was the oldest, but here we have the Bible telling us that David wasn't ugly. David had some good looks, the Bible said, and he looked healthy, and he had a fine appearance and a handsome feature. Wow. He was the absent son. He was the one who was thrown to the side and said, watch the sheep while your older brothers go. That's something to think about today. Samuel had a problem, you know, because God told him of Jesse, I have provided myself a king among his sons. Yet the seven sons, and God did not choose any of them. And Samuel thought, there must be someone else. And here we have remaining the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep. And David was called out from wherever he was, tending the sheep. David was simply minding his own business. David was simply doing his job. David was faithful in the small things that he was doing. And God saw him. God saw something within him. God saw humility within him. David could have rebelled and said to his father, no, I want to go. I want to go with my brothers. But David stayed there and he was obedient and he said, I will tend to the sheep. Keeping the sheep was a servant's job. The fact that David was out keeping the sheep showed that the family of Jesse was not especially wealthy, because if they were wealthy, a servant would be keeping the sheep, not a son. That's a powerful message this morning about the heart. I can imagine David coming in his work clothes. You know, the other brothers, they were probably all bathed and they put on little lotion and their hair was done and they wore their Sunday best and they were ready to be selected. But here we have David, little David, coming in his work clothes. The physical description of David tells us he had a complexion that was fair, and he had a light complexion that was considered attractive in that culture. He had the bright eyes, and he spoke with vitality and intelligence. And yes, he was good looking. The Lord said, arise and anoint him. For some reason, God saw royalty in David. God saw that he was the one who was fit to be king. You see, David wasn't the only shepherd in that time. He was a good-looking shepherd who had a good heart, who was humble, and God found him because he was being faithful with the small things that he was appointed to. And David took the horn of oil. Sorry, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. In the midst of his brothers, David was anointed right there. Imagine the thoughts running through his brothers' heads. Imagine the thought that they're thinking that, how in the world is David being anointed as king above me, Eliab? You know, I am the leader of this flock. I am the leader of this family. I am the one who will get the inheritance from my father, Jesse. How dare they anoint Jesse? I mean, David, sorry. And I imagine the thoughts. And if David's brothers were anything like Joseph's brothers, I'm sure they were jealous and David would have to watch his back thenceforth. But regardless of the onlookers and regardless of what others thought, David was there being anointed. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The real anointing happened when the Holy Spirit came upon David. In closing this morning, I'm here to remind us that though as men, we we want to be the tallest one in the room. We want to, you know, make sure that we are seen and we are strong and mighty, and you know, nobody messes with our we call it ego as a man. But let us remember the heart. And this goes for all humans. Let's remember the condition of our heart, because though we may look the part and play the part and feel the part and people look on and they see us, God is seeing our heart. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for your word this morning to our hearts. Thank you that you have spoken to us through your word. Thank you, O God, that this passage of scripture reminds us that, God, we are not all that on the outside. That you have made us to be beautiful and you've made us to be in the image and likeness of you as our creator. But our heart is where the truth lies. Our heart is what helps to determine whether or not we are fit to be king, whether or not we are fit for the role that you are assigning us to. So I pray that as humans, not only as men, because we have more than men in our congregation today, but as human beings, we will focus on the condition of our heart, O God. And we will remember that we should be faithful in the small things. We should be faithful in the now. We should be faithful with what you are blessing us with now. So that when you are ready to enlarge our territory and call us to the point of king, call us to the role of leader, call us to the role of something greater, that we will be ready because our heart will be in the right posture. So we place our hearts in the right posture today, Father, and ask that you'll be glorified in everything that we do, as we tell you thanks in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word.